Okay, stop, stop, hold on. That song is an abomination from the garbage dump of Gehenna. Both of those terms are incorrect. The Jews are not the Israel of the Bible, and Gentiles does not mean non-Jew. It should be the two houses of Judah and Israel, which were reconciled in Yeshua, and are the two branches of the olive tree. How can the Jews be one in Messiah when he says they will all be destroyed? And how will the Gentiles be one in Messiah when he said he came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel? The only thing Jews and Gentiles can be one in is counterfeit doctrine, and one in Messiah only if it's Jewish Jesus they are one in, and all three parties will be one in the lake of fire. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, or what communion has light with darkness, or saints with demons, sheep with wolves, wheat with tares? They can't. The two houses of Israel and Judah are one in Yeshua, one in Messiah, one in the olive tree.
Let's correct this.
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Help us, Father, to love one another with humble hearts, forgiving each other. Heal our wounds, bind us together, so the world might
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love.
To my Israelite brothers and sisters who know who you are and whose you are, and to the Gentiles who have no idea who you really are, and think you are Gentiles and believe in Jewish Jesus, may the divine influence be with you. This is part 13 of Gentiles. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Gentiles is found in the Word Studies menu. Here's a quick recap of Part 12. In Chapter 3 of Galatians, where Paul is talking about the children of Abraham, to the children of Abraham, about the prophecy of the gospel justifying the children of Abraham, somehow, it was actually about the Gentiles, and that the promises that were made with the children of Abraham are now shared with Gentiles, that, when they believe, they too become Abraham's children. These believers must be trans-Gentiles. If God made a mistake with the gender of people who believe they are the opposite sex, and they can become the opposite sex, then Gentiles can believe they can become Israelites. In Ephesians, Paul is addressing Israelites and reminds them that their forefathers and themselves are children of disobedience because they broke the covenant, and reminds them that they were Gentiles in the past, in the flesh. So does this mean that the Israelites were once alienated Gentiles? And were the two sticks prophecy about making Jews and Gentiles into one stick? Well, the prophecy in Ezekiel about it states the two sticks are Israel and Judah. Maybe the translators were supposed to put four sticks instead of two, because they forgot about the Jews and the Gentiles. In Chapter 3, even though Christ said not to go to the Gentiles, Paul was a prisoner for the Gentiles,
and he was supposed to go to the Lost Nations of Israel, but he decided to be the family manager of the Gentiles instead. In Colossians, Yahweh is not revealing the mystery of the Gentile church. He is revealing the mystery of who the lost nations of Israel are. In Thessalonians, Paul exhorts his kinsmen to increase in knowledge and abstain from race mixing, and that they should know how to possess their body in sanctification and honor, and not in the lust of the desires of eating pork, being lawless, and worshiping Jewish Jesus, like the Gentiles that know not Yahweh. Paul tells his Israelite kinsmen in Timothy not to fall for the doctrines of Judaism, which the Gentiles love so much. We're almost at the end of this study. There'll be only one more show after this one, and by now, surely, you are starting to see the folly and stupidity of the Gentile doctrine and how it just does not fit, does not work, and has nothing to do with Scripture. It is an added word meant to change the message. And this study is showing exactly how that message has been changed. Let's continue and expose the rest of the uses of this false word, non-Jew, Gentilis. Paul begins by acknowledging Abraham and our ancestors, the faith of our forefathers, the divine gratuity, or gift, of Elohim given to the seed of Abraham, that we Israelites are a called people with a set-apart calling to his own purpose and divine influence, which is in each of us. 2 Timothy 1:10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Yeshua Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So what is now made manifest, where it says in verse 10, but is now made manifest? We know that whatever it is that it is revealed, realized, made apparent. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And Isaiah 28:5. In that day shall Yahweh of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty unto the remnant of his people. And Hosea 13:14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Both Isaiah and Hosea are talking about Ephraim, which represents the house of Israel. Deuteronomy 28:29. And you shall grope at noonday, as the blind gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. Speaking directly to and about the children of Israel. All the references in Isaiah about them that sit in darkness are about the tribes of Israel that were scattered among the nations. Outside the communities and lands of the Israelites that remained in and kept the family heritage and followed Yahweh. The lost Israelites lost their way and were ignorant and in darkness. The gospel is their light in the window to lead them home. So what is made manifest from verse 10? When Yahweh chooses to open your eyes and understanding, you will know what it is. You won't know what it is until you see it for yourself, and that will only happen if Yahweh wants you to. If you want it to, you must be as a little child, humbled, repent, pray for him to show you the way. He will reveal to you what it is. When he does, you will see what these scriptures are showing you. If you still think Gentiles is what the churches teach, that Gentiles are non-Jews, that Gentiles are adopted and added to the family, promises, and covenants of the house of Israel, that Jesus is a Jew, and he came for Gentiles too if they accept him and then declare that they are saved, and that Jewish Jesus also made pork clean so we scum of the earth Gentiles can eat it, and that the law was done away with, and all the vomit that is spewed from the 33,000 versions of churchianity, then you have no clue what it is. And you are not even giving yourself a chance to receive some divine influence and have your eyes opened. When we receive the light and walk in it, we are preserved in this life and will inherit eternal life. When we remain in darkness, we will be swallowed up in death. Paul continues his encouragement and instructions to Timothy to be ready for opportunity and to bring convincing proof, and to exhort the preachers to maintain sound doctrine. He also tells them about his run-in with Alexander the pagan coppersmith, how the brethren did not stand with him, but doesn't blame them either for it. 2 Timothy 4:17. Notwithstanding, the Master stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. All the places Paul went were white nations with Israelites who have never heard of their own heritage, gospel, racial family, and God. These are those lost Israelites to whom the gospel was prophesied and sent to. Our people today, who do not know these truths, are these same lost Israelites. The only difference is that back then our people worshipped other little g gods, such as Moloch, Chemosh, Asherah, the Lord Baal, Dagon, Zeus, Poseidon, the Pope, and such. Today, our people worship their iPhones, sports and entertainment idols, various lusts, symbols, and Jewish Jesus. Jaime Jesus just might take the number one spot on the all-time list of greatest little g gods. There truly is going to be a lot of teeth gnashing and wailing when these billions of Gentiles find themselves thrust out and sent to the lake of fire. In both letters to Timothy, G1484 ethnos is used four times as Gentiles, every time referring to Israelites. Peter addressed his first letter to strangers dwelling in the regions of Asia Minor, south of the Black Sea. The Greek word translated strangers literally means aliens alongside, meaning not the natives of those parts. He called them elect or chosen, and in both the Old and New Testaments, the word translated elect means select or chosen. The children of Jacob can only be the elect. The children of Jacob are the chosen ones. He illustrated his points by reference to the Old Testament. Yeshua gave him the special commission to feed the flock of Yahweh, which is among you. The Greek translates the first verse of the letter as Peter, commissioner of Yeshua the Anointed, to chosen expatriates of through-sowing, of dispersion. Yahweh divorced Israel because of their disobedience and cast them off among the nations as punishment. He scattered them among all nations, and when the gospel later caught up with them, the ones who responded produced good fruit and helped bring in the harvest. This is symbolic of the parable of the sower and a fulfillment of prophecy. Deuteronomy 4:27, Nehemiah 1:8, Ezekiel 6:8, 12:15, Hosea 9:17, and Joel 3:2, all about Israel, not the church or Gentiles. Peter goes on to remind his kinsmen that they are engendered from above by Yahweh, and they have an inheritance waiting for those who through the belief will be delivered unto, that they are purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit which is in them. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of Elohim, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The churches teach that this is talking about the church, or the Gentiles. They don't understand because they don't read the Old Testament, and they believe the Old Testament is about the Jews. Everything stated in verses 9 through 10 are about Israelites. Only the children of Jacob were chosen, a royal priesthood, a set-apart nation, a peculiar people, walking in darkness, was not considered a people when they transgressed, but are now the people of Elohim, which had not obtained mercy, but now do, because of the promises Yahweh made to Abraham, that he would never leave us. Scripture reveals that our ancestors disobeyed Yahweh. As a result, Yahweh put them away in punishment, or cast them off, divorced them. This is what the word lost means, apolumi in the Greek. Christ came only unto the lost, put away in punishment, apolumi, sheep of the house of Israel. When we are in ignorance, or in a state of constant sin, then we are not considered His people. We are unrecognizable because we have no knowledge of our family history and true God. And as a result, even in ignorance, we are Antichrist because we are believing in something else, trusting in some other God, like Jewish Jesus, and trusting in some other doctrine and path promising salvation, but in reality and in fact leading us into the ditch. Verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of Elohim, which had not obtained or been shown mercy or compassion, loving commitment, but now have obtained or are being shown compassion and loving commitment. The churches teach that this is talking about the church or the Gentiles. Hosea foretells that idolatry and whoredom removed Israel from being His people and that they forgot who they were, but that they would become numbered as the sand of the sea and reconciled and return to Him and again be called His people. We are not called His people today and have been taught we are Gentiles, but many of us are waking up to the truth of the gospel and realizing that we are His people, Israel, according to the flesh, have been lost, walking in darkness and ignorance, and finding out that the Jews are not His people, and are the cause of our people being led astray. Verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as elect sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly desires, which war against the soul, having your conduct honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify Elohim in the day of visitation. Honor all, love the brotherhood, fear Elohim, honor the king. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. The other races are not our brothers, our kinsmen, our people, our race, or our blood. We are not to hate them, but we are not to have them in our communities and congregations. This message is simply not for them. Yahweh demands we be separate from them. But the churches, which always do the opposite of Scripture, would have everybody partake in that which Yahweh gave, promised, and covenanted with only the children of Israel. When you know the identity and the history of our people, then it's not a mystery and the dots are easily and plainly connected. The whole scam of the Gentile doctrine does not stand on any ground because it has no ground. In verse 9, Peter used the noun, verb, and adjective descriptions which Yahweh described and called his people Israel, and called them a holy, set-apart nation. But Gentiles was inserted by the translators. So are God's people the Gentiles? No. His people, the children of Israel, are a set-apart nation. 1 Peter 4:1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the desires of men, but to the will of Elohim. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the desire of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. The unrighteous hate us when we do not follow them. Verse 5. We, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Acts 10:42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he, Christ, which was ordained of Elohim, to be the judge of the living and the dead. Part of our duty is to correct our brethren when they stray, and to cast out evil from our society. Verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to Elohim in the Spirit. Gentiles, in verse 3, would include both the pagan nations of Israel, the pagan Adamic nations, and the satanic, Canaanite, and Edomite Jewish nations as well. In the first letter of Peter, G1484 ethnos is used 3 times as Gentiles, twice referring to Israelites, and the third including all pagan nations, showing again that Gentiles is a Latin word which means nations, and that the translators, churches, and denominations choose how to use it to support their own ideas and beliefs. John praised and encouraged Gaius, who was a witness to the brethren of the truth. 3 John 1:7. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. The Jew Pharisees had everybody brainwashed with their Judaism and counterfeit Christianity, which Christ and the apostles were smashing with the truth. Gaius was commended for bringing the truth to his kinsmen, and as a result, his congregation abandoned the falsehoods and religions of the nations, which would have been all the nations, Israelite and non-Israelite. The gospel message is not only to reconcile our people as one, but it's also the truth, which most of our people do not have, or don't even know they don't have it, such as today's churches, which are saturated in satanic doctrines. 3 John uses G1484 ethnos once and as Gentiles. The seven churches of Revelation represents the stage of the Christian assemblies from the time of Christ until Judgment Day. Thyatira was the fourth stage of the church. It represents the time from around 604 to 1517 AD and was a time of persecution at the hands of the papacy. It was during the Dark Ages of papal domination and lack of knowledge. In this period, many pagan and unscriptural doctrines carried into the true doctrine. Pagan holidays and ceremonies were adopted, the worship of Virgin Mary, to bring in worshippers of Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod, and Christ was reduced from man to a child held in Mary's arms, and the worship of saints as mediators between God and man. The Reformation gets its start with John Wycliffe in the mid-1300s, who translated the Bible into English in 1378, and a professor who sent his students out as poor preachers. He was tricked by the Catholic Church, caught, and burned at the stake. Revelation 2:18, "And unto the messenger of the assembly in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of Elohim, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know your works, and charity, and service, and the belief of you, and your patience, and your works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffered that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols." Jezebel is described as a model whore, the symbolic name of a woman who pretended to be a prophetess and who, addicted to antinomianism, claimed Christian liberty of eating things sacrificed to idols. Antinomianism means against the law. The churches today are antinomians because they claim the law was done away with and we are under grace. Verse 24, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have, hold fast till I come." Meaning, that which you have would be the truth, which was brought to them by true preachers and watchmen. Verse 26, "And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations, and he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father. Israelites that overcome this satanic society, age, and test called life will rule with King Yeshua in the reign of Yahweh and will be a shepherd over the Adamic nations in the kingdom. The symbolism can be found in the parable of the nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. He gave his servants the knowledge, understanding, and instructions on how to occupy until he returns. Some did nothing, some did little, and few did a lot. The ones who were trustworthy and produced much fruit by witnessing, meaning bringing many converts to the truth, were given authority over many cities. We Israelites, whom Yahweh chooses to reveal his truths to, are shepherds, watchmen, and managers of our race. That's why Yahweh set apart our people to be the light of the society and example of our people. Yeshua showed us how and wants all of his children to follow him. All those lost people of our race have been fooled into believing they are Gentiles and are ignorantly following Haimi Jesus. It's our job to bring them to the truth. Revelation 5:6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Elohim, sent forth into all the land. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The four living creatures are described as a man, a lion, a bull, and an eagle, the symbols from the standards of the four leading tribes of Israel, Reuben, Judah, Ephraim, and Dan. Verse 8, and when he had taken the scroll, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and have redeemed us to Elohim by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our Elohim kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Exodus 19:6. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. So, are the Gentiles included here? No. Only Israel. Only Israelites can be redeemed because only Israelites were bought and sold. The kindreds, people, and nation are those of Jacob. The reference and prophecy of this is witnessed in Exodus, which states who these nations are, the children of Israel. In verse 9, people is G2992 and means stock of the same race. Kinsman redemption, the purchase with blood for one's brethren, is the ancient Hebrew law of the kinsman redeemer. And if you are not a kinsman to the redeemer, you have no part with him in the first place. We see this in the law at Leviticus 25:47-49. You can see also Leviticus 25:25, Psalm 74:2, 107:2, Isaiah 43:1, and 62:12. Galatians 4:4 reads, but when the completion of the time came, Elohim sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the Torah, to redeem those who were under the Torah, in order to receive the placement as sons. These churches ought to call their religion something else, because nothing they teach comes from the Bible, and just because they recite a couple verses and add their own meanings and words, does not mean it's true, and as this study shows, is not true. None of the 33,000 denominations of so-called Christianity teach the truth. They are all called by another name and call upon other gods. Jewish Jesus, Jehovah, the Lord Baal, and some nameless title God, which is not the Elohim of the scriptures. It is absolutely absurd that people think all these religions are calling upon the same God. Here is yet another example of the churches believing what they want when Scripture clearly states otherwise. Chapter 7 is a flash forward to Judgment Day. Revelation 7:3, saying, "Hurt not the land, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Elohim in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." The following verses 5 through 8 name the tribes of Jacob. Verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our Elohim which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Romans 11:25. "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the nations of lost Israel become in." The context is all nations of Israel. The fullness of lost Israel come, which is the coming of our kinsman Redeemer. Lost and stiff-necked Israel then and today are blind, and the gospel is the light of true knowledge and deliverance of our people. Chapter 10 is about the period of the Reformation, the Word of God in the hands of the people which would be the Bible. Catholicism did not allow people to have Bibles, which were being printed in large numbers by the 1500s. The mystery of God would begin to be revealed in the coming centuries as more and more of our lost brethren would be drawn to the truth, as prophesied. Revelation 10:10, "And I took the little book out of the messenger's hand, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." Bittersweet. The long-lost and suppressed word of Yahweh was sweet, but the consequences of these beliefs will be great persecution. Bitter also, because of the awareness of the corruptions of the Roman Catholic Church. Verse 11, "And he said unto me, You must prophesy again before many peoples, and nations, and tongues, and kings." Meaning, go and reteach the word to my people. Peoples is G2992, and means one's own. Revelation 11:1, "And there was given to me a reed like unto a rod, and the messenger stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of Elohim, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court, which is outside the temple, leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. God does not dwell in a house built with hands. He dwells in us, when we are obedient and have at least some true knowledge and understanding. The temple of Yahweh is an allegory for his people wherever they are in the world. The inner court was for priests and Israelites, the outer court for the other Adamic peoples, the Genesis chapter 10 nations, those descendants of Adam through Abraham. In verse 2, the messenger said, "Don't try to measure the outside court." Yahweh wants his anointed people measured, the ones whom he called out for a purpose. In the new heaven and earth, after Judgment Day, the Israelites will be the administrative staff, the government, the city on the hill, immortal and clothed in Shekinah glory, as was Adam before his fall, and as Christ when he ascended. The other nations of our race, those of the Genesis 10 nations, will be the mortal inhabitants of the kingdom. In the ancient times of the temple, the other races were not allowed in any part of the temple. Israelites were commanded to present themselves 3 times a year during the appointed feast days. The Adamic nations, who were racial kinsmen to the Israelite nations, were allowed in the outer court. Any other non-Adamic race would have been killed if they entered. Deuteronomy 23:2, a bastard, meaning a mamzer, one not of Adamic stock, shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh, even to his 10th generation, which means forever, shall he not enter into the congregation of Yahweh. But the churches have usurped the law, done away with it, and invited every race into the congregation, and ignore the word of God. Verse 3, "And I will give him power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the 2 olive trees, and the 2 lampstands, standing before the Elohim of the earth." The 2 witnesses are the 2 olive trees, which are also the 2 lampstands. These are the 2 houses of Israel and Judah, Isaiah 43:10-12. Our people are the ones who accepted and spread the gospel for 1,260 years from the time of Christ to the reformation and spread of the gospel to our people in Europe, who are of the lost tribes. Verse 7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them." Edomite Jews and their usury and satanic ways that comes up out of the bottomless pit are this beast, which is Mystery Babylon. Freed from the 1,000 years of being held in check during the Byzantine Empire and let out by the Napoleonic Wars, which allowed the Jews to birth their Rothschild's banking empire, which is the cause of all wars which kill our people and make the Jews tons of money and gives them world domination. Verse 8, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our prince was crucified." Sodom and Egypt represent homosexuality and slavery, Jew propaganda and usury. Our people are killed physically, mentally, and spiritually all the day long. Verse 9, "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them," the dead white Israelites, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets, the righteous Israelites of both houses, tormented them, the unrighteous Israelites and satanic Jews that dwell on the earth. With the victory of Catholicism over the Reformation, those dwelling upon the earth rejoiced over the subjection of the children of Israel to the earthly power of the Pope. The Vatican controls the religious arm, London is the financial arm, and Washington, D.C. is the military arm, and all three are controlled by the Jews. The current Pope and many of the popes are Jews posing as white men. Verse 11. After 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from Elohim entered into them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them, the righteous, which saw them. May 5th, 1514, there were no witnesses to the word of Yahweh, silenced by Catholicism. October 31st, 1517, 3.5 years later, Martin Luther nailed up his 95 Theses. Then Protestantism took off. Verse 18, And the nations were angry, and your wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should give reward unto your servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. This verse includes all nations that are against Yahweh and his people. Anyone who is not with Yahweh is Antichrist. The world is filled with Antichrists. Not only are the Jews Antichrist, but atheists and everyone else who associates with any of the 33,000 so-called Christian denominations are Antichrist as well. Revelation 12:1, And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, the children of Israel, a woman clothed with the sun, obedient, and the moon, the children of Edom, under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is a flashback of what was happening to Israel all this time, the breakup of the Roman Empire and the migration of our people from Mesopotamia through the Caucasus Mountains into Europe. Verse 2, And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Our people trying to deliver the word during times of papal affliction. The interpretation of this prophecy reveals many of the secrets of our past. And then it describes the birth of Christ and the attempt of his Jewish enemies to kill him. But it also describes the birth of the only nation ever founded upon Christian principles, which would be America. The woman with the 12 stars represents the people of Israel in their tribes. The sun is often used to describe the ruling powers ordained by Yahweh God, while the moon is used to describe earthly powers, usually under Jewish internationalism, and are nothing but reflections of the sun and forms of Christianity. The woman is seen clothed with the sun, the power and truth of God, and standing on the moon, which symbolizes the woman's having overcome the earthly powers and Jewish matrix of deceit. America, which is the regathering place of the 12 tribes, was born and following God at the time. America was also founded out of the Reformation on Protestant principles. Verse 3, And there appeared another wonder in heaven, the Edomite Jews, and behold a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. As the woman represents Israel all through time, this dragon represents the satanic power of the Jew and their cronies through all time. The seven heads and seven crowns and the 10 horns all represent the power and earthly realms of the adversary. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to shepherd all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto Elohim and to his throne. This is, of course, a description of Yeshua Christ, who will rule all of the Adamic and Israelite nations with a rod of iron, after the tares, the goats, and everything which offends, and every plant which Yahweh did not plant, are all removed, as Scripture assures us shall happen. Verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, Europe, where she had a place prepared of Elohim, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Deuteronomy 32:8 and 2 Samuel 7:10 are prophecies which were foretold while the tribes of Israel were in their lands. So it's not the intention of Yahweh for our ancestors to stay in Palestine permanently. A nation whose number will be as the sand and stars would not fit there. We have become a multitude of nations and people because we are the people of the Bible, not the Jews who are a small number and have satanic blood running through their veins. The 1,260 days were the nourishing of the woman, the 12 tribes, during the migration into Europe and the Reformation when our people were receiving the gospel. When Yahweh promised Israel would be able to remain in those lands, it was under the condition of keeping the covenant, which they didn't. So that is why Yahweh cast them away, but he didn't forget about our people. Which is why the gospel is the glue that reconciles us back to him, and why we are now in the land where we will no longer be removed from. There is nowhere else to migrate. But we are under attack, and all the nations are surrounding us for harm. And that's why we must know the truth and call upon the one true Elohim and Savior, Yeshua, to help us overcome this last satanic age. Surely you are seeing by now that the Bible is the book of the race of Adam, as stated in Genesis 5:1. The promises made to Abraham are for the children of Abraham, and that all races did not come from Adam, Noah, or Abraham, and that it is the translators, the churches, and the Jews which teach that this history, these promises and covenants, and these scriptures are for Gentiles and anybody who believes. When Scripture plainly and exclusively states and repeats who it is for and about. The literal, born from above, flesh and blood children of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Jacob, which are identified today as the white Caucasian peoples who fit all the marks of Israel.
Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Hey Abraham, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. So shall your offspring be, so shall your offspring be.
Which proves that they're not Jews, because they're not numbered as the stars.
So Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And Israel had many sons, 12 to be precise, and they would be the fathers of the Israelites.
Which you are too, if you're white.
They were Reuben and Simeon, Levi and Judah, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, Issachar and Zebulun, Joseph and little Benji.
These are the 12 sons of Israel, God's promise fulfilled. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, through them God will bless the world. These are the 12 sons of Israel,
called Goyim in the Old Testament.
These are the 12 tribes,
called Ethnos and Hellen in the New Testament.
But how would God bless the world through these 12 sons? Well, a descendant of Judah would come.
He'd come
to save us from our sins.
To save us from our
and
sins.
Sent from the